As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. Elzan McMurray's home is an older but also comfy farmhouse with wood stove along the Missouri River, halfway between Lisbon and Petersburg here in Howard County. It's built on a rise that was just high enough to keep it from being inundated by the flood of 93. She and her husband Roger and the five children she birthed moved to Howard County in 1978. She epitomizes a hinge of a saying my family has and swings on, hard work and perseverance has a good reward. At 80, she is still a whirlwind of daily tasks accomplished. Homemaker, wife, parent, grandparent, gardener, pastor's wife, and now with her daughter, Kara, she runs an Airbnb in Boonville. She exudes pride over the beauty of its cleanliness, decorating, and furnishings, and its five-star rating from those frequenting it. She is the youngest acting 80-year-old you will ever run into. I was privileged to sell milk to her and members of her family for years, so my weekly peek into their lives kept me well informed of their goings-on. The first part of my interview with Elzan is a little heavy on religious talk, for after all, she has been a preacher's wife ever since she married Roger. That has been an interesting role for such an energized mind and body like Elzan's. Okay, I start this thing up then. And we'll go. Well, Elzan, you're the first woman I've interviewed. Well, and
I'm certainly not a career woman.
Well, there's something that I've always really felt comfortable around you.
Well, good.
About. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm thinking you might be a person who makes other people, some people, uncomfortable. And maybe that's not fair or true at all.
I don't know.
You think you do sometimes?
I don't know.
Oh, I doubt that you do then.
I don't know, but I may.
Yeah.
Roger doesn't let me get too political on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I was too vocal about my politics, I might make some people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, we learn to try and shut up, don't we? But you know something I discovered that, you know, I've attended a lot of different churches over time. If I'm in a conservative church, even though I keep my mouth shut, they start seeing me as being a liberal. And if I'm in a liberal church, they start seeing me as being uncomfortably conservative. And so it's funny how that can work sometimes.
Maybe I don't speak up as much as I should. Or I would make people more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I haven't really gotten plugged into the Boonville Christian Church on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the minister's wife needs to be so involved anyway. But it's just not what, personally, I would have chosen to go to a church like that. But it's really been the place that Roger needed to be.
Yeah.
He's just done really a good job. That church was really needing some healing.
Yeah.
And he was able to bring that.
Well, he can do that.
It's worked out really good. And it's really given me a freedom to not be so involved in the politics.
Yeah.
You know what it's like in a church with the women.
Yeah.
So, and it's, I don't have to be at church all the time.
Right.
You don't want to be saying these kind of things, I guess.
I was in college down at the university from 66 to 70, and you all were ministering there when? Shortly after that?
71. That was just the end of the Jesus movement, yeah.
Okay.
We were on university, and when Roger left the Church of Christ, we bought that house on university. That would have been in 70, 71, and kind of opened up the doors, and we had a pretty amazing fellowship that went on for several years. Yeah, and it was mostly those kids that came out of the Jesus movement.
Okay. You
know, they really turned on to Jesus and their blue jeans and their Bibles with denim covers on,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And It was pretty amazing.
What was funny was when I was there, if you'd identified yourself as a Christian, that was an awful thing.
Were you at the Baptist student?
The Navigators.
Oh, so you're a navigator.
Yeah. And then when I went in the Navy and came back to the university to visit friends, it had turned around.
Huh.
And you were probably there when the turnaround came, where you know, if you identified as a Christian, it was an awful thing. And like you say, you identified with the Jesus people.
The secular people thought about those Jesus people. I know they didn't fit into the regular churches very well.
Yeah, yeah.
They were kind of looked down. But I don't know about, you know, just the general run of the university people, how they accepted them. A lot of Stevens girls were involved, which was unusual, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you buy the little house that was the Christian
fellowship house? No, we weren't involved. Roger was good friends with Roy Weiss and worked on that house. No, our house was up 1315 University, the corner of Blair.
Okay.
And university.
Mm-hmm. How'd you finance that ministry?
I don't know. I look back and wonder how we did.
Mm-hmm.
When Roger left the Church of Christ, we owned a house in Spring Valley. I was pregnant with Cara. He went to a camp in New York. And while he was gone, for some way, I bought that house on university. I didn't have money. I know I called him. We talked about it. I didn't just do it. And I really don't know how we paid for it.
Okay. And then did Roger work as a carpenter during that time?
Then. That's when he started carpentering.
Okay.
And the first job he did was to work for the Christian Campus House.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had known Roy Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
And had worked with college students as part of his job with the Church of Christ.
Okay.
But they were very nervous about him doing things away from the church building.
I see.
And it caused conflict with the ministry.
Right.
And he wasn't exactly fired, but there was so much conflict that both he and the minister resigned.
Yeah.
And so we were left, and two houses and not a job, and I don't know.
How did you attract students around you?
Some of them would have been kids that we knew through the Church of Christ.
Okay.
And then I suppose we could have gotten accused of sheep stealing then. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think they probably continued. But then their friends, I don't know how people found us.
And what was the event? Did you have a group Bible study once a week? Okay.
And worship. And it was we had what we called Celebration in the Sun, which was kind of an outreach. We did baptisms at the rock quarry.
Oh, wow.
It used to be. I guess you've seen it now.
Oh, yeah. No, it was quite a place at one time. Wow, that brings back memories.
The Christian Fellowship Church, are you familiar with that now in Columbia?
Slightly. I sold milk to a lot of people.
It was some of the people that are part of that now were part of our fellowship. And do you know about Love, Inc. in Columbia?
No.
Well, you need to check that out.
Okay.
It's a kind of a clearinghouse for the churches as far as reaching out to the poor.
Okay.
But our son Patrick has been really involved in that.
Hmm.
But it's a pretty big thing that's happening in Columbia. Love in the name of Christ. But just check it out.
Yeah.
Go on the web.
Yeah.
And
because we don't think of the face of Columbia as being so many poor folk there.
No, yeah.
But it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
And they're doing a really good job, we think. We're really proud of that.
Huh.
Because, they realize, the book Toxic Charity, have you read that? Mm-hmm. Or When Helping Hurts. A lot of the ways we've helped the poor haven't been the right ways.
Yeah.
They've enabled them. And they know that. And but anyway, the woman that's very involved with that, with Pat, and her husband were part of that fellowship back in the 70s.
Hmm, interesting. How long were you involved there before you moved up this way? Was it 8 years?
Or? Well, through this, we moved out here in 78, 79. So through the 70s, I guess, basically, you'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had how many kids then?
Five.
All right. And that was all of them, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Cara was born in 71.
Right. Yeah. What was your involvement? Or were you just taking care of kids and putting a meal on the table for the family?
Kind of that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a soundboard.
We had food on Sunday nights when they came. So I, of course, would do that. And just, being there for the kids.
Yeah.
Just my presence.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was kind of the experience I had through the Navigators, too. Barb Combs was in the background, but she allowed us to see how a functioning marriage and family can be.
So that's the people that had it in
Columbia? Yeah.
We didn't know them, I guess.
That would have been just for your time. They went on to Brazil as missionaries down there. But
So do you know the Navigators man at Faith?
I do not.
Josiah Carr's oldest son is involved in Navigators.
Yeah. No, I've lost touch with that world totally.
Well, and the man in Columbia now, what's his name? That's so into the... I can't say his name. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you haven't really kept in touch?
No. Got busy raising family and milking cows and doing a business and going different directions for sure. What caused you to decide you wanted to leave that world and come to a farm?
I guess one thing, maybe you'd get the kids out of Columbia, but
yeah.
I don't know if that was the main thing.
Mm.
Roger's farm, we had some money from his farm in Iowa, and I guess maybe we'd always had in the back of our mind that we'd like to, you know, to have a farm again. And
place to raise the kids?
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
And just to be out.
I know I got to see a lot of the world in the Navy. But when it came time to really decide what I wanted to do, it was, I want to raise a family on a dairy farm.
On a dairy farm, yeah.
Yeah. To me, it makes raising kids easy, or easier maybe. I mean, you know, you give them a chore to do, raise that calf, and if the calf dies, they learned something, didn't they?
Yeah, and we really were kind of in the middle of things there on university. But just a lot of things. I look back and feel like it was the Lord in it, probably, or at least it certainly worked out to be a good decision. Whether there might have been a better one, I don't know, but I don't have any regrets.
Yeah. Well, man, it sounds like a lot of the folks that you got to associate with have gone on to continue doing interesting things.
We had a house church then. That Koinonia group, when we moved here, and it just, that kind of died down. You know how things kind of ebb and flow. So then, for a lot of years, we had a house church.
There in Columbia?
It started there, and then when we moved here, that continued with those people. But when it was hard. I got to thinking, here we are driving to Columbia to church. You know, that doesn't seem right. So I started going to a Boonesboro Christian church. And Roger was going to Faith Family then, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And Boonesboro Christian Church was just the closest church, so it seemed like that would be the logical thing to do. Plus, it's kind of my background. I grew up in the Church of Christ, and the Christian Church is just a more liberal version of the Church of Christ. So anyway, I started going to Boonesboro, and the minister there was old and was ready to retire. And the people in the neighborhood knew Roger, of course, and they asked him to come there and be the minister, and he did that. And he was a minister at Boonesboro and New Franklin at the same time, two services, for 5 years. He could give you these dates better.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did that for 5 years, and then he quit there, retired again. I guess that was really the first time he retired, and started going to the Boonville Christian Church. And I didn't really get plugged in there, but I went some, but I didn't really get plugged in. My heart was still in the house church thing.
Yeah.
But then they needed a preacher. And so they asked, and he did that. And that's been really good.
Yeah.
I've really got a lot of good friends there, and I feel very positive about what he's doing there. But I don't know how much longer he will. And we both turned 80 this year.
What to you is the attraction of more of a house church than a more organized in a building church?
How much of this is going to be? Well, I think we have to have an organized religion, but I think it can get in the way. But we do have to have it, I think. We can't just not. But
maybe that's why I find myself comfortable around you, because I think we're both the same way in a lot of ways. You know,
I really try to not be negative about organized religion or judgmental, because who am I just like the idea of having a community of people that can share.
Yeah.
And not just one person all the time. And I tell Roger, if he weren't in the pulpit, I maybe wouldn't be going if I had to listen. It would depend on who I had to listen to. But see, that's prideful.
Well, see, that's how I got to know John Pearson.
Yeah.
Was I'd heard that they were having a house church in Oberlin. And so I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And it was a real good experience.
I wondered, is he doing that still?
No, I think maybe they've tied in with Pastor Gilman over at Harrisburg, the Christian church there. Now, I may be wrong.
Is that like a Disciples Christian church?
Yes.
Disciples, or is it an independent? It is?
Yeah.
I wonder if Roger knows him.
John Gilman. They have a big following. It's a big church, pretty good sized for that area.
And you're sure it's called Disciples of Christ?
Christian church.
It could be an independent Christian church.
Could be.
And it's in Harrisburg?
Yes. Yeah. And I could be wrong, but I think maybe the family's just kind of tied in there. And
well, I wondered if he would find a place or if he would be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing, and it became my life too, you get so involved when you're raising kids and have a farm. And especially the sort of things that John is doing with gardening and working at the water plant, it's easy to take a season of your life where you just back off. Mm-hmm. And then add to that the fact that he had a really dynamic experience in a home church. And, you know, it's just the seasons of our life, you know.
Right.
They just come and change. And, I know I have a lot of people saying, hey, you don't milk cows anymore. You don't have a good excuse. I just
You mean, so I was going to ask if you're plugged into a local church.
Okay. And it's just, well, part of it is my wife is very turned off by churches. And I'm embarrassed to go to church without my wife. So that's one of my excuses. That's one of them. The other thing is I get tired of just smiling at people saying hello and goodbye. I don't like those kind of relationships.
So why is your wife turned off the church? Our reason, your reasons, or?
You know, I don't know. Before I married her, we talked very deeply about our belief system. And for one thing, I married her because I did not want a wife who was really religious.
Yeah.
I did not want that. I wanted to be able to invite lost pagan people into my house and they would feel totally comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I got what I wanted.
That is so interesting.
And, you know, she'll tell you right out. You know, the song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well, we'll both be there, but it won't be because of perfect attendance. So anyway.
What is a way to talk about how we feel about organized religion? How can we say that in a way that's not judgmental?
Yeah, it's really, you can't, you know, and so I don't talk about it much. For some reason, this discussion is really going some interesting directions. I was going to talk about farming and grandmothering and gardening, and we'll get to that.
It's very interesting to me. I'm enjoying this part of it.
I'm like you. I think that everybody that comes to a meeting where you're wanting to express your spiritual feelings has things to contribute.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with a small group where everyone gets to have at it. I think that's where an awful lot of edification takes place.
Well, of course, now we've got the problem of the evangelicals and still so many of them that are the political thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
Yeah. That turns me off too. And then you go to the churches that aren't that way, and the Bible's a bunch of fairy tales. So it's hard to find a place anymore.
Well, what we've found about that, because the Disciples is considered a liberal church, because a lot of the churches are, how do they call it? Roger, we're talking about religion instead of other things. But when you get involved, at least the churches that we've been involved in, the people are not, like you were saying, giving up on the Bible, but take it really more seriously.
Yeah.
There would be more freedom about the homosexual thing than them. You wouldn't have to feel quite so that you had to really be hard line in every way on that.
Yeah.
And maybe you could, I don't know why we can't even talk about abortion a little bit. Right. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems to me like there's got to be some way, just in the first place. If I say women are always going to get abortions. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. And we've got to deal with that somehow.
Yeah.
If we make it totally illegal. Mm-hmm. But you can't talk about that either.
No.
There's no way to even talk about it, or you'll be considered a Nazi, a child murderer.
Well, I like to shock some very strong anti-abortionist people, and here's how I do it.
I wanted to hear.
I say to them, so that abortus fetus has a soul, what comes of it? And they say, well, it goes to heaven, because it's totally innocent. And then I say, you know, with that assurance of eternal life, I almost wonder if I wouldn't wish I'd been aborted.
How many people do you say?
And they really scratch their heads over that.
How many people do you say that to?
Oh, not, I mean, I got to know them fairly well.
See, you have more courage than me. Just a little bit that I've said to some people that would make them think I might have a different idea, is that I just get the sermon that I'm a murderer, you know, and like I'm a Nazi, I just don't really say anything.
Yeah.
Well, I do sometimes to some people. Some people I can trust.
Yeah, no, I don't say it a lot, but I have used that line
on occasions.
And you know what?
You just get pushed to the extreme if you say those things. It's kind of what's happening in the political world everywhere, just more and more to the extreme.
Well, you know, recently when I lost this election, I had this thought. Did Jesus come to the earth to become mayor of Jerusalem? No. He came here to relate to 12 people intensely and closely. Mm-hmm. That was his job. Mm-hmm. And then he went to the cross and shed his blood that we could be all made righteous. And so, you know, there's a place for serving in public offices, but that's not necessarily the highest calling.
No.
Jesus said, you know, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's my bucket list, is just to make sure the next 20 or 30 years I'm relating to people in a very meaningful way.
For sure.
Yeah. And do I expect fabulous fireworks going off because of what I accomplish or do? No, that's not what relationships are all about. It really isn't. Well, back to the farm. Did you come here with the intention of being a dairy?
I don't think so, did we, Roger?
I'm you. I'm mute.
I don't know when we had the idea of being a dairy. Do you, Roger?
We tried row crops first.
Okay.
It's just not a farm that's very suitable for anything like that.
Yeah, and did y'all have a mortgage on the place for a while?
Yeah.
We did, but it wasn't really a burden. It doesn't seem like.
Half of it down.
All right,
That wasn't.
And the banker could hardly, I don't know whether I can loan you money. We paid $95,000 for it.
Can you believe
that? $50,000 down. And that conservative banker at United Missouri Bank in Boonville would hardly loan us a mortgage.
Wow. Because he figured it wasn't worth messing with you.
I thought it was too much of a risk.
Would really be a nice, is a nice farm for hunting. And we do have at least, it could be set up to really be more serious.
How long were you dairying here? 10 years?
Roger, you heard that question. I don't remember.
10 years.
And all Jerseys, all that time. Do you know, have you heard about this M2 milk?
Yes. You mean the gene from the
more? Yeah. And it's, well, New Zealand has got all new life because
they have all that there.
All that nasty milk that they came up with in China turned all of the consumers of milk and milk formulas into people who want high quality milk. And they know that New Zealand has mainly Jersey and Jersey crosses. So they are now the most sought after milk by the Chinese, and they don't want America's Holstein milk.
Well, maybe it's not the gene. It's the one that's supposed to be more easily digested.
Yeah, and you know, it's hooped up as being anti-cancer and just
stuff. It may not be what gene I was thinking of, but it may be.
It's a gene that makes the milk somehow different.
Yeah.
And of course, health people are jumping on it.
What was the breed that had more than Jerseys? I thought it seemed like maybe it was.
Maybe Swiss.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think all the colored breeds are higher in it, and most of the Holsteins aren't. So,
Well, people like the butter fat these days, too.
Yeah. No, watching the total decimation of the dairy industry over at Clark among those Amish. It's been so sad watching that happen. But it's just, if you aren't multiple thousands of cows on your dairy right now, you're dead.
Well, Andy
and
rented,
even then, you're dead.
Andy rented pasture for some people up by Purdon and Linnaeus.
Yes.
And there were some neighbors that were Mennonites
mm-hmm.
that were starting a big dairy.
Yeah.
Where they got? Do you know about who that would?
No.
A huge dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not thousands.
But it was big, wasn't it?
Well, 300 or 400.
Okay. No.
I wonder if they're making
it. In Wisconsin, every dairy, every farm was a dairy, and now it's just every county has two or three mega dairies, and they're all starving to death, too. So I don't know where agriculture's going. I just have no idea. But
it sure depresses Andy.
Yeah.
Time we paid feed bill and electricity, there wasn't much left.
At the dairying, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when we were selling milk as a commodity.
Right. Yep.
Even though we got a boost from the butterfat, so we eventually just gave up.
What was your milking situation? Were you milking in a double three or what?
Yeah, double three.
Double three, right. And the milk was picked up every other day?
I don't remember the schedule.
Okay.
Didn't seem like it was quite that often.
And you were able to provide pasture and all of your hay and bought all of your corn, maybe?
Pretty well.
How many acres of cropland are on this farm? Maybe 40?
No, good cropland. Open land, there's about 100. But mostly it's woods. 435 acres, 300 of it's woods.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that big an acreage here. That's a lot. I can see why you're able to rent it out to hunters then.
So we were milking in the flood of 93 and had to dump milk a few times
mm-hmm.
because they were,
I think just once,
were afraid of that. We could still get out, but they were afraid of that bridge there.
Yeah. And so you milked and then you changed into being more of a carpenter and cabinet worker.
Well, I was at first.
Oh, okay.
He's done that ever since.
All right.
We left, well, started back when in the 70s in
right.
Columbia. And
yeah.
He is, we well, knew how many.
First a remodeler, then a home builder, then a captain.
Who did all the milking? Elzan did?
Not all
okay.
of it. Not all,
all. Well, you know, if I was not exhausted, to me, I found milking extremely relaxing. I really did. And I listened to the radio, National Public Radio, morning and night.
We did too.
And it was a good time. And my kids would say the same thing. And I made the mistake. We would dry the cows off with newspaper, and I'd get newspapers that were the Wall Street Journal or the Christian Science Monitor, and had really good articles in it.
Yeah, they have good articles.
And the problem was they'd be reading this stuff instead of drying off the cows and putting machines on them. But what do you do?
That's like the story we heard about the Book of Kells. You know those famous manuscripts?
Yeah.
When they found the old copies in Ireland, some of them were in the feeding troughs that they'd used, just like your. But these
right.
were, these manuscripts that were so old and precious and valuable.
And then our babies were raised in the barn.
That's
you know, we had a box
that
kept most of the cow poop off them. And my wife never could produce milk. She just couldn't. So at about 3 months, you know, take out the bottle, fill it up with milk,
oh, really?
Hand it to the kid.
Well, that would be fresh.
And when they emptied it, they'd hand it to us for some more.
Yeah, that's crazy. They didn't grow up very healthy, did they?
No, they didn't.
Let's see.
We always say 17 football seasons and no broken bones.
So you grew up doing that too, didn't you, Malcolm?
Yeah.
As a boy. And your sister Penny did.
Yes, Penny
we
and Vicky
taught Penny,
both.
Or no. I didn't get to speak her. She was mm-hmm. speaker. She was at a funeral
right.
Roger did.
Yeah.
Yesterday, night before.
So you did a lot of preaching on carpentering all the time that the dairying was going on, and that kept the bills paid.
Well, in those days, we were doing house church.
Yeah.
So I didn't really preach.
Yeah. And there wasn't.
We you know, we had discussions around the table.
Right.
And communion.
And there wasn't money
music,
coming
no
out.
No money.
We didn't do any, we didn't do that religious thing, Sam. We didn't
right.
pass the.
We didn't have an offer.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't get paid.
Right.
You know.
You know the joke, don't you, about the people on the airplane that's going down and someone says, let's do something religious, and they said, pass the offering plate. Okay, go ahead. We did not pass the offering
plate. Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, have you had time to wear the hat of a grandma very much?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. And it asked some of the grandkids how she's done.
I wouldn't say that we're just overwhelmed with it. They're pretty good about not taking advantage of us.
Well, my wife is full-time babysitter.
Oh, I see.
And she loves every minute of it.
Well, she shares with Becky, doesn't she?
Yeah, I shouldn't say full-time.
So she's not working then now?
No, she retired probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we say that. We've got 200 goats, we'll be kidding, in another month. So she does a lot of the goat chores with me.
You don't milk those, though, do you?
No, they're meat goats.
Do you milk them like this for your own, or do you have a cow?
I don't like goat milk.
It's supposed to be so good for you.
Yeah.
I never did like the taste of it either.
No.
But do you have a dairy cow just for yourself?
I do. Yeah, we kept our dairy animals as beef cows.
So how many do you milk?
I just always will have one that I milk. And then we freeze that milk for when we're kidding. And, so anyway.
Well, you've got a lot of goats then, don't you?
I'm doing a lot of farming still. And but it's pretty seasonal. Of course, the seasonal is January through March and April. So it's the worst part of the season for farming.
So are you lambing? Are you?
We won't kid till March. Yeah.
So you keep the bucks away so you
do what?
Have fairly warm weather before you kid.
Yeah. And we have a huge barn that I built. I just threw it together. I don't let people see it because I have no money invested in it. And you can see that in a hurry. But, that's how you make money, is you don't spend any.
Yep.
So I see you as being a master gardener.
I really am not a master gardener, but I do enjoy gardening, but I'm not a master
gardener. She's a practical gardener.
She gardens
for food. Mm-hmm. Well, you raise flowers.
Yeah, but again, I like for them to come up volunteer mostly.
The marigolds are great that way, aren't they?
I haven't discovered the marigolds. My coxcomb and my larkspur and my zinnias, but I need to try marigolds. They'll do that too.
And they're wonderful in that they start blooming, like 1st of July, right up till hard frosts are there just doing their thing. And then
Andy,
in the spring, they're all over again because of all the seeds they dropped.
You have to be able to identify the little seedlings, don't you, when they come up?
They're pretty easy. Although they kind of look like some weeds, too.
He's so into cover crops, so I've done some cover crops, just some of the seeds, just for fun. But my main cover crop is chickweed.
Oh, yeah.
And that really does work. It really does suppress the weeds until you're ready to take it out.
Yeah.
So my garden never looks really pretty, hardly. Once in a while.
Are you having to have a problem with the Japanese beetle at all?
Not too much. Our peaches?
Our own peaches.
Were those the Japanese? Those ones that just clung so many of them?
Yeah.
No, I haven't had too much.
You haven't
trouble.
Bothered in the garden.
Yeah. The mole crickets get my potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a lot of canning then, or just
not
seasonal?
A lot. Tomatoes. I do tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And strawberry jam. Speaking of which.
Anything you will try different this summer? Are you kind of in your gardening rut? This is how I've done it. This is how I will do it.
I love raising onions, and I buy, the plants for those that are the sweet onions.
Mm-hmm.
But I just discovered that those sets that you plant, if you let them get big, those onions really keep a long time.
So
I'm going to plant a whole bunch of sets just to have onions that keep, because my sweet onions don't keep.
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to have strawberry jam left over.
Oh, thank you.
He's giving me one.
Right.
I made a bunch to give the grandkids, and I didn't think I had enough for everybody. And Roger gets so nervous that he thinks I'm going to give all of his strawberry. So if he's sharing
some... Well, I feel pretty special over this.
Right. You are.
This is their thin variety.
Huh.
So her batch this year turned out...
Does that one say thin on it?
It says thin.
Well, so I don't know.
Still tastes really fine. But.
You had been going to Iowa a bunch to spend time with your mom. Mm-hmm. Has she passed on now?
She has. Okay. In 2011, was it? And the big thing is I've been selling that farm. My brother, there were three of us. And
it's 260 acres, 380s. and a 20-acre homestead.
They were anxious to sell for some reason, and I wasn't. I didn't know why they were in such a hurry to sell. They didn't even need the money.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have had the money because I would have put it into the guest house at Moonville, but I didn't want to sell. But anyway, it was just so we could divide it up pretty evenly. There were 380
I see.
Acres.
Yeah.
So I kept one of those 80, and just this year they sold the homestead and their 280s.
And you've kept 80 acres.
Yeah, I've got 80 acres in Iowa.
Some neighbor crops it or something? Or
Yeah. Okay. The man that bought the farm, we were a little annoyed. You know, that's the way the renters get up all the good land. They really treat the people nicely and then get to buy the farm. They gave him
you
a really good...
No. Yeah. So he bought the farm with no money down and no payments for 5 years.
Mm, that's a good deal.
Well, but he had to finally make some...
Finally, the lawyers wouldn't let that swing. But he had her brother and her sister.
Wow.
Her sister, especially.
Yeah.
You know, their neighbors.
Well, they are... My brother agreed, too. But I was determined, and we all are, that we were not going to fight over that farm. It was just a real blessing that it was so easy for me to keep that 80 acres.
Right.
And it was the 80 acres I'd kind of liked anyway.
But the lawyer wouldn't let it sell that way. So
he said, you've got to get some down payment.
And he pays basically what he's been paying for rent for his annual payment for 5 years. Mm-hmm.
So now what am I going to do with 80 acres in Iowa?
So I had this boy out of high school and he needed help to get started.
Yeah.
The farmer farms 26 farms, and the boy already has 100 head of Angus.
Wow.
Needs help to get started.
Yeah.
So he thought if they could sell the farm without very much investment for 5 years, the boy could get started.
I really considered buying it all, which we could probably swung, but then I didn't go that way. But then when they sold it to Kevin so reasonably... Well, they had said all along, well, we'll just give it to you. You know how they are. And they would have. They'd have made me a good deal. But they gave him such a good deal, we could have bought it. But it's probably a good thing we didn't.
Well, if it was a good deal, you must be talking like $3,500
an acre.
Oh, no. It's higher than that.
22.
My goodness, for Iowa farmland?
But it is. It's the borders Missouri. It borders Missouri. It's not like it's not like northern.
It's not huge fields.
But it's mostly tillable.
Yeah.
I would say it's 85% tillable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard that the best deal on farmland right now is northern Missouri because basically it is southern Iowa. But the reason it's cheap is it's not big, huge fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it is underpriced.
They want the big spreads.
Right. It's underpriced.
And so this man is a, you know, he has those 26 farms, but he also has a lot of black cattle.
Yeah.
So he's going to make this farm into a cattle farm.
I see.
Over. Yeah. And that would be ideal for
it. Yeah.
It's just a sweet little farm.
Have you got figured out how Andy can keep doing sheep on your land after you've passed?
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Well, we think we're getting it worked out.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal.
He'll need to pay his siblings.
Mm-hmm.
We've been allowing him just to use it. He manages our hunting lease.
Right.
Which pays us $3,000 or something like
that.
He takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he does all the things, like clean the driveways and take care of the fences.
Yeah.
But you see, he doesn't pay rent. But,
yeah.
But when we're gone, he'll need to, and we've set that up in our, currently set it up in our trust. Mm-hmm. He needs to be responsible to them.
Yeah.
I had a brother who wasn't.
Yeah.
And that, but he was going through those early 80s.
Right.
He couldn't.
Yeah.
But if he could have at least explained to us why he couldn't and showed us some figures, that would have been a lot easier situation. Mm-hmm.
But this is not the best farm for Andy for his sheep.
It's a uphill farm, we call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
6 miles of electric fence for 100 acres.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's found he really doesn't need to fence it. He needs to fence the borders. He does it with netting. But otherwise, they come down here for water. We don't have very... We've got one pond up the hill at Old Water. USDA built us a big pond. It won't hold a drop. 12 grand out of our pocket.
That's one right out here? The big
one? No, this one holds water.
Okay.
There's another one up the hill, an old pond.
I see.
That holds water.
Okay.
But the one closer to the river.
Do you drive down to Highway Z and see his sheep in the river bottom ever? He rents pastures.
He cover crops on the neighbor's farm.
Right? Okay.
And he puts that netting
on.
So a lot of times there's sheep right along the road.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the same is true for the sheep as we're discovering with goats. Goats can buy a farm. Now, they may not buy a farm and put food on the table, you know. Somebody's still going to have another job, either mama or daddy.
Yeah.
But most things in agriculture right now can't buy farms.
It doesn't work, so Andy does it all. But he's very tight with his financial information, so we don't have any idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes he complains that he has a debt, borrowed money, but he doesn't share those facts with us.
Mm.
But he has bought a car for each of his kids, you know, used cars.
Yeah.
Daughter took a trip recently to Switzerland. Somebody paid for that. Maybe she did. I don't know.
She's at school in St. Louis.
So there is some evidence that there's some cash flow at least.
Right. So you go fishing every summer. And do you still go up to Iowa to see family every summer or
I
not?
I do, not as much. My mother, her last years, I went up there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go as much. It's not quite the same.
Yeah.
But my sister still lives there.
Are you doing any big traveling? Do you want to see Switzerland too or not?
We talk about a bucket list. We've made a few ticks. My brother lives in Texas, in Harlingen. So but we're certainly not winter Texans, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
that's quite a homebody.
Mm-hmm.
Takes something pretty special to get there.
Yeah.
Off the home place.
I'm pretty happy just bumming around in Howard County myself. To me, the interesting thing is the people, not seeing some big mountain.
You need to interview our neighbor Peter Levote sometime.
I talk to him frequently on the phone, he calls me, let's put it that way.
Does he still?
Yeah.
Even though you're not the commissioner?
Yeah, no, we're buddies, I don't know.
I'm much more positive about Pete than Roger and Andy.
He takes me places I'm not comfortable with.
My theory is you couldn't have a more interesting, as you say, the interesting people we have in Howard County.
I'm not sure I'd loan him any money, but...
We thought he was going to move to Nova Scotia, but...
Some of us hoped that he would.
Yeah.
He's made a guest house out there, up there, too. He's on Airbnb.
So, well, listen, I've interrupted your evening long enough.
And maybe we should get together. Maybe our conversation went in too many different ways.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Did you talk about her weaving? Did you talk about that?
Oh, no, and I meant to. Yeah. Okay. So y'all got involved in that, and apparently it bombed.
Well, as far as making money, it did.
Okay.
I didn't feel like it was a bomb. It wasn't a big money maker.
It wasn't a cottage industry.
I don't regret it at all. It was very.
Do you still do some weaving now then or not?
We sold that loom.
Okay. And
the amazing thing about it was it's very mathematical.
Mm-hmm.
And, Elzen is not a doily person.
Yeah.
Or a knitter or, all the artsy things. She's not that.
Yeah.
But she was really creative with the loom. And partly because it's so mathematical.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's my theory. I don't know whether she would agree with that.
I don't know.
The amazing thing to me was what it felt like.
Yeah.
With that fabulous wool that was coming off from Andy's sheep.
Well, Andy's wool is getting national attention.
Yes, it should.
Either topped or nearly topped a national wool auction in Roswell, New Mexico, about every year for the last several years.
Mm.
And now he says he's got two big, rich farms in Colorado that want all of his sheep. But, they're not about to make an offer, but they're making inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
He's selling small batches of breeding stock,
male
and female, to some pretty significant ranchers.
Well, I'm going to cut this off just because it's getting close to everybody's bedtime. But
I want to be sure you did. Did you talk about her being a hostess of this Moon's Lake Bed and Breakfast?
Let's go into that. Sure. No, I don't mean to rush off. I'm just starting to feel like maybe I may. What do you call your place?
Moon's Lake Guest House.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when did you take on your first folk housing them? Has it been a year ago or not?
No, it's been when Karin Day in the year, 2 years ago. When did they have their tornado? It was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Light it up there and show them a picture or two, if you would, please.
Well, or you could go to, we've got a website.
Okay.
BoonsLakeGuesthouse.com.
Okay.
And you say you don't know which building that is on Main Street. It's on the right hand side as you go across the bridge. And mm-hmm. like Roger said, it's
the, next to Mark Woolridge, and next to the head shop. Okay. Not really a head shop, but
now probably the face of it is not that impressive, though, is it? It's just another.
Well, it's Cara's shop. The window's full of plants. I think it's kind of a neat window.
Okay. She's got a sign overhead, but it's not a very bold sign. It says Estelle. Estelle, E-S-T-E-L-L-E.
How much of the work did you do on the building?
I did some of the construction. Okay. But she did. She turned Sal's ear into a purse.
But it's not that fancy. It's not fancy at all.
But it's homey. The people love it. Mm. People really like it. She gets 5 out of 5 ratings, with maybe one exception, because that person couldn't get on Wi-Fi at that time.
Who does all the cleaning?
I do. Cara does some. She tries to keep me from doing it, but we've not been that busy. But I do. Enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So far, I just really enjoy it, and I would say so far it's probably more like a hobby.
Okay. She wanted a project.
Yeah.
Not a hobbyist. She's a project person.
Do you meet every person that's coming?
I'd like to. That's what's really fun.
Okay.
But we have it set up so if somebody, you know, wants to get, even like tonight, if they came off the trail and mm-hmm. needed a place, we've got a key code. Mm-hmm. And if they have a credit card, and it's pretty much set up.
I see.
But it is fun mm-hmm. to meet the people. The bikers are interesting.
It's probably always just one night stands.
One or two. People come to Boonville for events, high school graduations, and even people from Columbia.
Oh, sure.
End up in Boonville at the end of in May mm-hmm. for graduations. And
so she sanded about every surface and refinished it. Wow. And I've sanded and refinished about all of her furniture.
Wow.
That she has up. So a lot of the furniture is stuff that's been gathered up, some from Iowa, and then we sanded it and put new stain on it, mm-hmm. new finish. Mm-hmm. So her furniture's fairly nice. And Cara's been good at buying things like tables and chairs and that sort of thing.
And so you have
it's not really
five rooms that can be rented out? Three bedrooms.
Really, you only two. It'd be two groups. You really couldn't have more than two groups to share those three bedrooms mm-hmm. just because of the way it's situated.
Mm-hmm. Got three bedrooms and three common rooms, kitchen, dining room, and a living room.
And all the bedrooms are upstairs?
It's all upstairs.
And then there's common rooms.
22 steps.
Okay. No, just the whole thing is upstairs. All of the downstairs is Cara uses that. Mm-hmm. Well, Josiah is sleeping there. He's a junior at Central Methodist, but he's living there this semester on the main floor.
I see. Yeah.
It's an interesting building. Mm-hmm. The basement has a hardwood floor in it.
Wow.
It was kind of a
Pepsi bar.
Hangout for the
speakeasy kind of place.
Yeah. The high school kids in the 50s and the Kemper boys. They the Kemper boys could come there and hang out with the town girls. Mm-hmm. One or two of Roger's members at the church remember going there. And there's still initials carved on some of the wood, and so that's fun to think about.
They call
that
it the pine room. It has that old time pine paneling, nice amber color.
I don't know why. Yeah, it's got that pine paneling, and then the floors are oak. The narrow boards. I don't know why they.
That was for a dance floor, I think.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. But Johnston Paint.
Do you do anything with the basement now?
Josiah's studying music and is into recording. He's made a little recording studio down there.
Okay.
With some pretty nice equipment. Mm-hmm.
And Cara's children have all kinds of enterprises down there.
Okay.
It's a wonderful place for
that hardwood floor, you know.
Yeah.
They can do the rollerblading.
Rollerblades, shuffleboard, and darts.
Now, I'll have to go out of my way to stop down there sometime.
Stop in and see Cara if you have any alterations that need to be done.
Yeah.
She's there on Tuesday.
Sweatshirts and sweatpads. That's our uniform of the day.
Well, zippers. Do you have any coats that need zippers? She put so many zippers in.
I suppose. They wear out before the clothes do. What about that business? Do you not enjoy this, the paperwork?
Well, that's true. That's for sure.
That's what's laying there.
Yeah. But again, it's not that much. But of course, if you had a bigger business, you'd have it all set up on your computer. Yeah. Or you'd hire a secretary to do it all.
And the joy has been just putting it together and then...
Exactly, yeah. And then the people.
Connecting with the folk.
Right.
Another part of Elzay's life vocation was attending to her parents in their dying times. She and her sister.
Yeah.
Really incredible the way they cared for them. Mm. They both died at home. Grandma tried hospice, and it was not nearly good enough.
Yeah.
And so they saw her out. Two of our daughters were there when Grandma died, and it was a really wholesome. Mm. I think she was 98 and a half.
That's something I'm not learning about yet, but it'll happen soon.
With my your parents?
My mom is 90, and my dad will be 94.
Well, that's amazing.
February 1st.
Are they still in their home?
Yeah, they are.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mom fell about 2 months ago, and she was just ready to roll over and die. wasn't healing fast enough.
Did she break a hip?
No, didn't break anything. Just hurt bad. And now she's in a wheelchair.
Oh, really?
And they're working with her. Maybe she'll walk again. We'll see. It's all what she decides to do,
yeah,
I guess.
That's kind of true.
And she's ready to check out. She says, how come I haven't got to go yet?
So you have.
Did your mom ever have that attitude?
A little bit.
Okay.
I would say that. So you have one sister, right?
No, I have three sisters in the county.
Oh, I see. So you can all share.
I kind of have the job of, not a job. I go up at least twice a week just and yak with them for a long time.
So you brought up your. You came here first.
No.
Brought them all down here.
No, the whole family came down.
Came together.
Yeah. Dad was starving. We were starving to death on a dairy in Wisconsin, and the chance to buy cheaper land was what brought us down here.
Right.
And to get away from the awful winters.
Yeah.
We had a series of just dreadful winters up there for about 5 years.
How old were you?
I had just finished high school when we came down. And then, I don't know if you know the Deals family.
Yeah.
We were neighbors up there, and they got to move down here before us.
Oh, really?
Mary? That's Mary.
Yeah. About a year.
She's a salt of the earth, isn't she?
Yep. A couple years before us, they got down.
Are your parents involved in a church then? Do they?
They were very, in fact, they helped found Sharon Bible Church,
which
started out just as a Bible study. Then the church became very political, and Dad just couldn't take it anymore.
And are they still that way?
Yeah,
he would just
get up and just mouth off at Harold.
How long? When did this happen?
When did that happen?
Yeah, when they got turned
off.
Well,
they put up with it for a long time, but probably 2 years ago.
Oh, really? So pretty much just recent.
Yeah.
Well, has that been hard for them?
Yeah. Oh, there's some old geezer on TV they listen to faithfully. And I guess he's like 95 years old.
Well, the one they listen to, you mean?
Yeah, they think the world of him. I don't know who he is.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
It's important to keep the politics away from
it. It is.
I don't touch it. Mm-mm. I did say one sentence the other day.
Oh.
I was preaching on the visit of the wise man and the Mary and Joseph happened to flee to Egypt. They were refugees in this plight of the Israelites who had to go to Egypt for protection. Mm-hmm. And my sentence was, Mary and Joseph were refugees.
Huh.
There are many refugees.
Interesting.
Yet. Surely God has mercy. We should have mercy on the refugees.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's all I said.
Yeah. Did you get any pushback from that? Probably
someone
not.
Said, hey, you got political.
Oh. That
was me, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did.
The sermon went along with Psalm 2, which is a psalm that's quoted many times in the New Testament about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And it's about the coronation of the king.
Hmm.
And it ends with, kiss the Son, the Lord's anointed. Because the Old Testament kings were called sons of God.
Yeah.
And it ends with kiss the Son. So the other political thing I said was, well, I have just a little mischievous now about this thing of kissing the Son. How many Democrats, how many Republicans would kiss the feet in obeisance of a Democrat president? How many Democrats would kiss the feet of a Republican president?
Huh.
Well, moving right along.
That's excellent.
That's as close to political as I've got.
I just am back thinking about your parents. Do they feel like that they're falling away?
Not at all.
They have their, okay, well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
and for a while they were going to Penny's Church, Hillside Baptist, and they enjoyed that.
Where is that?
It used to be Unity Baptist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's now Hillside. Yeah.
But I think Parvenals are just old.
Yeah.
And just getting out of the house is tough.
And the Lord is there.
Yeah. And Dad just, well, he's still got 20 cows he says he's going to sell. So he's been, you know, out babying cows. Okay. And he's older than dirt. He's really, I can see Mom passing before Dad.
You troops are tough. What yeah. Patrick has done.
Yeah. He's out every day now trimming trees with hinges, tree service.
Oh.
In this weather.
Oh, man.
You know, because they can't roof now. He usually roofs.
Okay.
Most of the year. But now he's trimming trees.
Climbing.
And I just, how can you do that?
Climbing, isn't he?
Yeah, climbing and everything. And they haven't missed a day.
Wow.
And at the same time, somebody needed a load of wood yesterday. And I thought, I'm not going to go out there and dig wood out and throw it on a trailer for somebody. And I thought, well, they really need it. And my fingers were falling off, but I got a whole load loaded, and it wasn't impossible. It wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't impossible.
How many pairs of gloves did you go through?
I just stayed with one wet pair.
Well, that poor technician had to dig that wire in up.
Oh, yeah.
The door.
But we got to be tough, don't we?
Well, you get to a point when I had part of my lung taken out that my toughness kind of went with it.
I try to go every winter over when they're harvesting ice, my friends over at the Amish community, and my feet will get so cold, and I say, where's our fresh cow pie? I got to warm my feet up.
They harvest ice?
Oh, yeah. I think they'll get ice this week. They haven't had it yet. So they're
how deep does it have to get?
They have to have 4 inches.
They need more probably, don't they?
Oh, it's nice. You know, 6 is great, but 4 is the minimum.
And how long will that last them?
It'll go right through the summer and into the fall.
Isn't that amazing? I thought I didn't.
Well, do you know how they make their ice houses? They get these styrofoam, big, long styrofoam blocks that they use for pontoons down at the lake.
Yeah.
And they put them together, the whole structure, ceiling, floor, sides. And then they get in folk the spray insulation, and they spray inside and out. And then they have these phenomenal doors.
Is that better than just having electricity?
That is going to last.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, I've only seen this at my friend's house. Nobody else has done it yet. He has tubing all through the floor of it that comes out a spigot. So all summer long, they have ice cold water to drink.
Pond water then, I guess, are they?
No, this is a well.
Oh.
Yeah, they dig wells over there in Audrain County.
Oh, but I thought it was the ice melting that coming out.
No,
so. But they run the lines are from the well.
Right, yeah, from the well inside the
in the ice house. Through the ice house.
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Wow.
So when I go over there, first thing I do is I grab the communal cup and get me some of that ice cold water. And think what a difference that makes when they're out working in the fields all summer long. Because if you can keep cold water in you, you're air conditioning yourself from the inside out.
Well, that's we had to put the burlap sack around the jug that we carried out to the farmers. Did you do that?
Just to keep it good and cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was delivering milk and it'd be 100 degrees, I would just keep a big, a couple gallons of ice with orange juice in it and just drink. Or else I'd just eat ice all the time. And it didn't bother me at all because there's some hot days in Missouri, aren't there?
There are.
And we don't use air conditioning in our house at all. So you got to figure out ways to stay cool.
Well, we never have until we got these things. And so we've...
Done a little.
We don't run it much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, remember when Laura Cordy delivered your milk?
Yes.
For us?
Yeah.
She had the baby out here.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Isn't it wonderful?
She will make an interview.
Yes, she will.
She is such a character.
Fred would make an interview.
You bet.
And Benji has.
If he could hear the questions you're asking.
Yeah. You know, they started coming to the Boonesboro Christian Church when
wonderful.
I was there, and they still are really regular up there.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, I guess she grew up going to Richland.
Mm-hmm.
She was at Wells, is that right? And so they lived up there by Richland Creek and went to that church.
Yep.
So this was a natural.
Yeah, they lived down here.
They liked us. They
but
started.
Was he Catholic? Is that family Catholic?
Yeah, they're Catholic.
Fred?
Yeah, they're Catholic.
Okay.
They started coming when I was preaching up here because we were friends and did quite a few things together.
Yeah. Well, what else am I forgetting to ask you about,
well,
Elsam?
I don't know. If you want to come back, we can put it all together more, or if you can come up with something.
Well, I have a wonderful guy that's editing. And if there's anything you think we talked about that we should cut out, we can do that.
Well, maybe some of that religious stuff.
Yeah, it might be. But I'm going to call it an evening here.